Well, I've spoken off and on, probably more than even wanted to hear, about how frustrating I find our current use of language and how there seems to be this cultural desire to erode every word and make it about as useless as possible. Sort of the poster child for this is the word awesome, which now means nothing, really. When you can describe a hamburger as awesome, when you can describe, anything as awesome, it's functionally useless. And it drives me crazy for a lot of reasons, mostly because I'm pedantic about language, let's be honest. But still, so anytime I can come across a word that hasn't really been taken over and ruined, I'm always kind of excited about that. And I've mentioned before, and I swiped this one from Philip Yancey. He said that of theologically significant words, the word grace is the only one that really hasn't been overtaken by popular culture, and it still means more or less what it's always meant, at least in English. But as I was going through our texts this week, another word popped up over and over again as I was reading in first the New Revised Standard Version and then the New International Version. Translate something slightly differently than what Jean was reading, and that word is faithful. And I found it interesting as I was thinking about it, because the word pops out. It pops out in our psalm reading. It's in Isaiah. It's alluded to more than actually stated in John, and it's specifically used in 1 Corinthians. And it struck me as I was thinking about it, this is a word that has not yet been overtaken and made useless. Faithful is still a positive aspect. Faithfulness is a virtue for everyone. Nobody looks at you and says, oh, you're just so faithful, in some kind of a dismissive sort of way. It's a word that still holds its power as a word. It's not magic. We're not talking about that. But it's a word that still has some connotations that are really, really significant for all of us. Even now, in a society that is really quite loose in what it thinks is important as far as promises go and that kind of thing, marriages can still be dissolved because of unfaithfulness. It still matters. Being faithful still matters. And I suppose we could spend some time talking about how the word made its transition from its original meaning, which is faithful, being full of faith, it was a significant religious word, into what it means now. Faithful, steadfast, dependable. All of these things are characteristics that we want to be known for. I don't know anybody who wants to be known as vacillating, you know, someone whose word can't be depended on. You know, I've never met anybody who says with pride that, you know, when I say I'm going to be there at a particular time, nobody knows when I'm going to show up. You know, nobody wants to be that kind of person. We want to be known as dependable, faithful people. We want to be known as having loyalty and all of those ancillary words that are caught up in the word faithful. And what really got me started on this was the last verse in our Corinthians reading. And then I sort of went back through obviously I'd noticed it before, but when I caught it, for whatever reason, it struck me, where in the New International Version it says, God has called you into fellowship with his Son, God who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, is faithful. And I realized that it's one of those characteristics, those qualities, perhaps even an attribute of God that we don't perhaps think about, but is so critically important to it. When we think of God, we want to know that God is faithful. We want to know that God will do what he says he's going to do. And that's what the psalmist was speaking about in Psalm 40. Isaiah says the same thing, that God is faithful. He will do what he says. He will accomplish what he has said he's going to accomplish. None of us want to, if we personally don't want to be known as someone who's unreliable, we certainly don't want God to be. And when we think of the reliability of God, I think of the story of Elijah and the prophets of Baal, or Baal, if you want to get sticky about the pronunciation, where these false prophets had to try and get their God's attention because he couldn't be depended on. So they jumped around and screamed and yelled and things. We don't want to serve a God like that. And what we see over and over through Scripture is that we don't. God is self-described as faithful. God tells us that he will be faithful to us. And all through Scripture, we see prophets, kings, judges, disciples, apostles, Paul, who's in a sort of a category all by himself, talking about the faithfulness of God and how God's faithfulness goes beyond generations, that God is faithful to complete the work he began in us, Paul used in Philippians. Over and over again, we see that God is faithful. And that's important. I mean, that's one of the grounds of our being, is that God is dependable. But as I was thinking about that, I also thought that, well, he's faithful to what? Well, he's faithful to us. And one of the things that he's faithful in doing is creating faithfulness within us as well. If we look at the larger picture of being faithful, as we look at faith, without the full part at the end, we see that faith is considered a gift from God. Steadiness, dependability, all of the virtues come from God. He is faithful and then makes us faithful. And we end up with this almost a circle of our faithfulness being powered by God's, who has said he will be and who we have seen. Now, the difficulty, of course, is that we don't always have the right standard of measure. I don't know how else to... there's a better way to describe it, I'm sure. But when we think of God's faithfulness and we think of God accomplishing what he said he's going to, often we don't think he has. And frequently it's because our time scale is too short. God frequently talks about how he's going to bring in a kingdom of righteousness. Well, we don't live in one of those. Well, first, we don't live in a kingdom, and the country isn't righteous particularly. It's better than some, but you know, I don't think anybody would describe our political system and our society as perfect in righteousness. And so we say, well, then, does that mean God isn't faithful? Well, no. Because God is working over a time frame that is perhaps larger than what we're thinking. And that one we can understand because it's big and you know, we've got lots of that. When we're in a difficult moment and we pray for relief and we don't get it instantly, we tend not to think that maybe our time frame is too short. We tend to think that God's ignoring us or that God for the first time ever is not faithful, that God isn't going to do what he says he's going to do. And it's often in retrospect that we realize that, well, maybe we were a little impatient. And frequently, we see in our own lives that, no, God was completely faithful. And that when he acted at the time that was best for us. And we can even see that. The frustration, of course, comes when we don't see the end, when we're in the middle of this. And that's when we need to turn back to Scripture, to history, the larger picture of church history and world history, and then our own histories and the people around us. When I struggle with believing that God is going to be faithful, sitting in a corner and trying to convince myself doesn't work very well. Reading the stories in Scripture that demonstrate God's faithfulness are much more effective. Reminding myself how God has worked both through the unmistakably miraculous as well as the slower purposes of, or the slower ways of working through people to accomplish what he's done is more encouraging yet. But what's most encouraging is talking to the people around me who remind me, no, God is faithful. Do you remember that time? Do you remember when you thought this? Remember when you were waiting for that thing to happen and it did? When they tell stories about their own experience with God and His faithfulness. We want to serve a faithful God. And we do. God's ongoing commitment to us isn't always as clear as we'd like, and that's not unique to us. Read the prophets, and you'll see people waiting for God to do things, and some of them being pretty open in how impatient they are and how aggravated they are that God hasn't done what they think He should yet. And we can be in that same boat. And it's okay. Because God's faithfulness to us comes from Himself. It's not dependent on our returning of complete faithfulness, which is good because, well, I don't want to speak for everyone in the world, but I've never met anyone who would self-describe themselves as being perfectly faithful in every single aspect of their lives. That's a pretty high bar. But God's faithfulness to us isn't dependent on our response. God has said over and over again that He will do what He will do. We can't thwart God's will, and we can't prevent it from happening. About all we can do is make ourselves miserable while we're waiting for it. And you sort of think, why would anybody want to do that? Well, I apparently want to do it because I end up doing it fairly often. When I'm waiting for things that I'm sure God will provide, and He hasn't, I am quite capable of working myself into a frenzy of disbelief. I'm not sure where it comes from. You'd think by now I would know, but when I read Jeremiah, when I read Isaiah, when I read the story of Jonah, I realize I've got lots of company and being relentlessly and fallenly human. But we come back to, or at least I try to come back to, over and over again, God's demonstration of faithfulness and His statement that not only has He been faithful in the past, but He will be faithful in the future. Not only will God be faithful to the prophets, to the nation of Israel, to His church, the body of Christ on earth, all those huge things, He'll be faithful to me and to you. It would be nice, it would be convenient if we always knew exactly what was going to happen, if we always knew exactly when God was going to work. And it's okay for us to want that. But that's not the way it always is. Often we have to wait. Often we need to be patient and exercise that other kind of faith as we wait. But the thing that we need to remember, and the thing that we do remember, is that the God upon whom we wait is faithful. The God upon whom we wait will do what He says He will do. And what's more, He'll do it in the time that's best. Not always most convenient as we look at it, perhaps. But in retrospect, we'll see that God's faithfulness was demonstrated and granted to us in the ways that were best for us and best for all concerned. I don't know if you're struggling with anything, waiting for something, big or small. It's usually something we're waiting for, it seems. But I've been reminded again this week, through these texts and through my own review of what I know about God, that He is, always has been, and always will be faithful. Amen.